And record. I'm gonna share the Mikoro sheet that we're gonna use. What I want to do in today's shiur is I want to discuss some themes that overlap between the Brachos Limud and Aseres Yemei Tshuva. So you'll see I'm gonna share my screen. Okay. So let's start with the theme of Malchios and Rosh Hashanah and connect it for a moment to the end of Yom Kippur, the finale, the denouement, the climax of the Yom Kippur davening at Ne'ilah. So we know from the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, we know from our davening on Rosh Hashanah that one of the three themes of Rosh Hashanah, or the Musaf davening of Rosh Hashanah, is Malchios. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros. So we know, for example, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Tes Zayin tells us, the Imru Lefanai Rosh Hashanah, Malchios, Zichronos, Veshofros. And what is Malchios? Kidei Shetamlichuni Aleichem, that you should proclaim me as sovereign over you. That's Malchios. And we know from other Rishonim and from Rav Sajigon and from Rina Bachia and the Kara Kemach that this theme of Malchios is one of the themes of Tkiyah Shofar. Rabbeinu Bachi here writes, "V'od b'mitzvah zu remez l'malchuso yisbarach, shebiyom ze bara olam, v'haya melech, he ain melech below am." So part of the Kol Shofar that we're trying to discern is this theme of coronation. Ain melech below am, you're proclaiming Hashem as melech al kol ha'aretz. And he points out that derech malchei ha'aretz litkoa b'shofar b'tchilas malchusam. We know from the coronation of Shlomo HaMelech, Shlomo. And so that's why we have a mitzvah, the Alkein, Sivanu Yisbarach, Malchuso. So there's an aspect of Malchios of coronation in the Kol Shofar itself. That's what we get from the Rabbeinu Bachya's analysis in the Kara Kemach. Now, we know from our Limud in Maseches Brachos that the theme of Malchios is connected to Kabbalah Atzal Malchus Shemayim. So, for example, just take some quotations from the Nusach HaTfilah of Rosh Hashanah and from Yom HaKippurim. Equally present in Yom Kippur davening is V'simloch ato Hashem levadecha al kol ma'asecha v'artzi ha'mishkan kvodecha. Hashem should reign alone. That's a theme of Malchios. And in the part of Shmoneh Esrei where we add Aleinu, we say V'yikablu chulam es ol malchusecha V'simloch aleihem. So here explicitly in Tefillah, this idea of Malchios is joined with the notion of Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. Now we know this also that it's not just a theme of Rosh Hashanah davening, but it's a theme of Yom Kippur. Where do we see this in Yom Kippur? So at the end of Ne'ilah, when we finish the tefillah and the Chazaras Hashatz, how does Yom Kippur end? What's the grand ending to Yom Kippur? It ends with Kabbalah Shema,
Shema.
Kabbalah Shema, Shemaim. Exactly. Yishma Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. You have seven times Hashem Hu Elokim. It's an act of Kabbalah Samachu Shemayim, and it ends with Tkiyah Shofar at the end of Yom Kippur. And it's very plausible that the major machlokes what that Tkiyah Shofar is, but maybe that Tkiyah Shofar is related to Tkiyah Shofar of Rosh Hashanah as like the final act of Malchios, like Rabbeinu Bachya says, for Tkiyah Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, to accompany the Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim at the end of Yom Kippur davening.
Does anyone actually say that's what the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur is for?
So there's actually a lot of discussion about that. It's to accompany the Siluk HaShechina, which would be the equivalent, as we'll see in a minute, of like this idea of. Like it's the final act of Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim before the special nature of the Aseres Yemei Tshuva goes away. So I would connect those two. But Ezra, yeah, I could get you some Mikoros that'll be more explicit on the connection. But it's very mistaber in light of Rabbeinu Bachya's analysis of the Malchios Tkiyas Shofar of Rosh Hashanah, and that this is co-joined. It's right there at the end of the Kabbalah, so Malchus Shemayim at the end of Ne'ilah. Okay. Now, we know from our journey through Maseches Brachos, beginning of Brachos, Maseches Kriyas Shema, that for many Rishonim, and we'll just use the Ramban today, Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim is intimately related with the concept of Yediyas Hashem. So, give you two examples in the Gemara of Rosh Hashanah itself, where it talks about Malchios. We say Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad is Malchios, according to Rabbi Yossi. And similarly, V'yadata Hayom V'hashivos Ha'elavavecha Ki Hashem Hu Elokim Ein Od. That's Malchios. So that's a pasuk where the predicates are all Yediyah, right? V'yadata Hayom. Ata her'esa ladas ki Hashem hu Elokim einod milvado malchus de Rabbi Yossi. So these three psukim that we know from our limud Shema, we know from our limud that it connotes Yedias Hashem. The pasuk in Devarim v'yadata hayom v'hashevosa el vavecha is clearly referring to v'yadata hayom Yedias Hashem. Hashevosa el vavecha, we'll see, is also a form of yediyah. And by the way, if you remember from Yochum Fishel Perlau, this pasuk for the Ibn Ezra is the source of Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim, the mitzvah of Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. And Ata HaRei Ladas, it's also emphasizing Yediyah, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim. And in our Limud, we saw the Ramban in three places. The Ramban in his Asagos to Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzaseh Aleph, his Asagah to Sefer HaMitzvos, Losaseh Hey, and his Perush Al HaTorah in, I believe, Shmos Parak Chaf Pasuk Beis. The Ramban says that Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim is to have this Emunah Belokos and Yediyah Belokos. Does that connection ring familiar to everyone here? So let's just review the main statements in the Ramban for 1 second. The Ramban writes, "Is Asaga to Mitzvah Aleph." He's commenting on Anochi Hashem Elokecha on the Rambam, Shenitztaveinu be'emunah so Elohos. Amar HaKosev ha'emunah hazos b'dibur hazeh lo niflesi v'lo rechok kehi, v'chein b'dibur Rabboseinu mefurash, shehu kabbalas malchuso yisala, v'hi emunah so Elohos. So the Ramban identifies kabbalas malchus shemayim with this emunah, this belief in God. And the Ramban goes on to show that the source for this kabbalas malchus, he says this explicitly in his Hasaga to Losaseh Hey, is emuna, the belief that Bnei Yisrael had in Hashem in Mitzrayim. Hareisha biyaru pavim harbe ki dibra nochi hu kabbalas malchuso kolomar emuna belohus. The amram shekibaltem alechem b'Mitzrayim, ulomar shekvar heeminu belohus b'Mitzrayim. Ma'amaro vayeyamein ha'am vayaminu b'Hashem uv'Moshe avdo. So we know from this psukim that Vayeyamein, they believe that is what Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim is, to have the proper emunah. Okay. And then he goes on just to say a little more, and here's what I want to emphasize about the nature of this belief. He says, Aleim, they accepted to adopt the belief or to believe that there is a God. Nimtza, he's existent. V'hu el motziyam mi Take them out of Mitzrayim, which signals Kolomar HaChafetz, Hashem has will. He has a Be'olma Divrach. He has a will in how he created things or to do things. HaMechadesh, he created the world out of nothing. HaYachol, who is capable. And that's the mitzvah of Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim is l'ha'amin be'ikar, to believe in this ikar. Ned?
Just point out that for the Ramban, Vayitam Kilohim in Bereishis, so this Itzadas is man is sort of gains this ability of Chefetz to desire things. He gains his own will. So
That's interesting. Yeah, like a ratzon.
that's like characteristic of divinity.
That's interesting. The idea to have like a ratzon is the la'isam kelikim das tovera.
Yeah.
That's nice connection. Let's add that. Now, the Ramban also, I just have one more Ramban here to drive this home. The Ramban in Parshas Yisro, which we've seen. Anochi Hashem lokecha dibra zeh mitzaseh. Yoreh v'yitzaveh osam. Hashem is teaching and commanding. Sheyedu v'yaminu ki yesh Hashem. Notice here the Ramban in Pirush Al Torah adopts sheyedu, which is a stronger doxastic term. Right? It's not just to believe, but it's also to know. Sheyakiru v'yedu. Sheyaminu and sheyedu. So they should know sheyesh Hashem. V'hu Elohim lahem. That not just that he's out there in the remote corners of the galaxy, but he is the ruler, the Lord of Bnei Israel. Kolomar, the Ramban unpacks this. Hoveh, he's present. Kadmon, he's prior. Meito haya hakol bechefetz v'yecholas. Everything was created out of Hashem's ratzon and his desire. V'hu Elokim lahem shechayavim lavod oso. And the Ramban says, Zu ha-mitzvah tikra rabbeinu kabbalas malchus shemayim. Right, this is Kabbalas HaMalchus Shemayim, to have this idea of these aspects of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hove, Kadmon, Meito HaYakov, Chefetz, Kim Lahem, Chayim Lavo, so Sheyedu V'yaminu Ki Hashem, all that's Nichal in Kabbalas HaMalchus Shemayim, to have the proper idea. Romy, you have a hand?
Do you think it's possible that this kind of, like, there are different kinds of yediyah, and that, like, this kind of, this is like a lower level of yediyah than, like when the Rambam talks about, like, the ultimate purpose of man being yediyas Hashem and it being really hard level to reach? That doesn't seem like the same kind of yediyah that we're talking about on Rosh Hashanah, and or even when you use the, you know, when the Ramban uses that word in this context, it sounds much more like to recognize God's existence, like who's in charge here. And that he, like, rules everything.
This is a
Not.
very interesting question you're asking. This is like the distinction we raised in the earlier shiurim between knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu exists versus trying to gain substantive knowledge of Yedias Hashem, right?
Yeah, similar, yeah.
Hard to know. I think this formulation in the Ramban and Yisro comes a little closer to the Rambam and the Chovos Lavavos, because it's to know that he's Hoveh Kadmon Mi'ito HaYakol V'Yecholas V'Elokim L'Chayim Lavado. So it's a little more robust. But I agree with your Har that maybe, like, you don't get in the Ramban this idea of like shogeh bo tamid, preoccupation. But
Right. I mean,
for
yeah.
go ahead.
It also in the context of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Noraim, maybe it's not a good argument in your mind, but, like, it's hard to argue if you think that something is very unachievable, that the key to the day and, like, what we're trying to do is, it is, I don't know, it just seems much more oriented towards, like, a more basic, like, should be aware, like, you know, you're
So I
living
think
your
that's
life,
not right.
understand
So
who's in control.
I want to say that's not the case, right? I want to say that the orientation of the day is actually quite demanding and ambitious in its in its claims. Okay, everybody with me so far? Okay. So that's the connection to Yedias Hashem. Now I want to drive this home. This relates to Romy's question. I want to emphasize that this appears to be a part of the Nusach HaTfilah of Rosh Hashanah itself. When we think of Malchios, and again, this is also the Nusach HaTfilah of Yom Kippur. So you might say it's the essence of Aseres Yemei Teshuva. And by the way, you know, the mark of Tfilas of Aseres Yemei Teshuva is Hakel HaKadosh Tehamelech HaKadosh. So that seems to emphasize like these Malchios dimension of the Nuschat Tefillah even. But here's the Nuschat Tefillah of the Yom Noraim. And by the way, let's see. L'takein olam v'malchus shakai v'chol b'nei basar yikru v'shmecha l'hafnos eilecho kol rishei aretz. So l'hafnos is to turn to you, right? And then yakiru v'yedu kol yoshvei sevel kilchat sichra kol berach tishava. So the Nusach HaTfilah is saying that like there should be this heker and yediyah. No? There should be recognition and knowledge of Malchus Hashem. Isn't that the language that's used? So it's the same. It's exactly, you have this theme of Malchios, and then the Nusach HaTfilah itself, we have what the Rishonim are saying, that Malchios gets interpreted in terms of yediyah and recognition, those epistemic states of mind. And then again, in those psukim, lichvot shimcha yikar yiteinu, v'kav l'chulam es ol malchusecha v'simach aleihem. So yediyah and lehakir are connected in the tefillah to v'kav l'chulam es ol malchusecha v'simloch aleihem. Right? So when will the world be perfected under the sovereignty of Malchus Shakai? when all humanity will call on your name, Kol b'nei b'asur yigiv b'shmecha, and all the world's inhabitants will realize and know you. And in Aleinu, which makes an appearance in the Shmoneh Esrei of the Tfilos, we say, "V'anachnu kor mishach v'motanech machem lachem kodesh baruch hu huno teshmai v'yosei da'aretz v'yadata hayom v'hashevosa el vavecha ki Hashem hu Elokim," which is the pasuk that the Gemara Mishnah quotes for Malchios, which is the makor that the Ibn Ezra thinks is the source for Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. Via data hayom, also using that verb of yediyah. Similarly, in our Nusach HaTfilah, we say, and if you know the Yishai Ribo song, so this is maybe stuck in your head. Meloch al kol olam kula bichvodecha, hinase al kol aretz bikarecha, and the end of that pizmon is v'yeda kol peul kiata paalto. The Yavin Kol Yitzur Kiata Yitzarto. So I think it's almost impossible to miss these aspects of Yedias Hashem and Havana of the Mitzias Hashem in the Nosach HaTfilah of the Yom Noraim. Lee, you have a question on this?
I think maybe it's similar to like what Romeo was saying. It feels like this is more of like you're talking about it's an eschatological vision. It's like the kind of like the end of days, everyone will know you. But is this like an individual, or is this an individual like thing that weighs on you necessarily? I'm saying like all this Yediyah stuff is part of this future vision, but I'm saying for the present, for me right now, like it doesn't see it still doesn't seem like this Yediyah is the your main duty.
So I,
If
the
you
way
know
I
what I mean.
understand these parts of Nusach HaTfilah is that Malchios is what Klal Yisrael do on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. So we're engaged in this Yedias Hashem, and then we're aspiring towards like the whole world achieving like the Yediyah that Bnei Yisrael have. So like we aspire. We say it's not enough that Bnei Yisrael have this. But l'saken olam b'malchus Shaddai, what does that mean? It means that yakiru v'yedu kol yoshevei sevel, v'yavin kol yitzur kiata yitzarta. But the eschatological piece is just generalizing it beyond the sphere of the Jewish people.
What do you make like a differentiation between like an almost philosophical idea as opposed to like some sort of mere submission to like, because I feel like there's definitely a difference there between saying like, oh, I know there's Hashem and he's Yachid and he's the Melech versus just like a mere submission where it's like a submission might be like, I actually don't know that much. But like there's something greater and he's in charge, basically. Would you
I
talk
think
would
the
you say
verbs
that
here are all
between
yediyah and lahakir, havana, like the exact
what
same.
would I'm asking like what would only the former really constitute some sort of idea?
The
Like
former being what?
the former being like, oh, so I've like this philosophical knowing.
Yes,
And it's
yes, yes.
like I'd say like a con I'd say idea feels like a confidence as opposed to like a submission.
Correct. I think it's an epistemic state. I'm going to get to that in a second. 100%. It's a belief state. Right? So I want to get to that in a second. Okay. So we know that this is the end. I just want to drive home again to reinforce that the end of our tefillos of Yom Kippur end with this Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. I'll skip over this for a second. But okay. So we've started off with Malchios as a theme of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim at the end of Yom Kippur. We know that Malchios is connected to Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim. We know that Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim is connected to Yedias Hashem. We know that from our Limud, and I think it's implicit in these diyukim in the Nusach HaTfilah. Now, I want us to unpack, to contemplate this notion of belief, emunah belokus. Like, what does it mean to believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So we know from the Rambam in Mor Nevuchim that we saw in Shir. I think this is the key phrase right here. Da ata hama'ayin b'sifri b'mamari zeh, the Mor Nevuchim Aleph Nun, ki ha'emuna Eino inyan hanemar bepeh, aval inyan hamitzuyer benefesh. Kishe ya'aminu bo shehu kein kemoshe mitzuyer. So belief is not something that we recite. It's not statements that we make. It's not utterances that we utter. Do we all agree to that? Belief has got to be something that corresponds to something firmer, something more foundational in our, what the Rambam here calls our soul. Let's look at the formulation of the Chovos HaLevavos. But does everybody see that statement of the Rambam? So belief can't just be something that we say or that we affirm with our statements. The Rambam even adds that to achieve this type of emuna, this type of belief, it's got to be sheyis ames lecha, right? Something, it's got to be something that you're convinced of the truth of, that you're actually convinced of. This is not just the Rambam, you could see here. The Rambam writes here. You can see here, and sorry, in that same passage in Mor Nevuchim, the Rambam says, "What does it mean for it to be mitzuyer in the nefesh or mitzuyo in the seichel?" He says, "V'ein emuna ela achar hatziur." So you can't believe something until you have it. How do you translate tzior? You know, until it's been etched.
Imagined.
How would you say, Ned?
Imagined.
I don't think it's imagined. I think he means like until it has like the foundation, like it's engraved in the right way in your mind. Ki ha'emuna hi ha'amana b'masha yitzuyer shehu chutz l'seichel, kifi masha yitzuyer b'sichlo. Proper belief means like this notion that conviction that something outside is in fact true, and that's what your mental state corresponds to. Once you leave reach this stage, it means that that belief is so ironclad and it's not interchangeable, it's not dislocatable. So like the belief has a certain strong ground and a strong foundation. The lo yimtza b'seichel makom dechiyah le'emuna hahi, the lo l'shayer efsharus chalufa tiyeh amitis. And when the belief is so strong and so well grounded and so so rooted in epistemic foundation, so like you won't be able to easily swap out that belief with something else. Do I see that? Ned?
What do you do with this, like post-Kant?
What's the Kantian issue? Let me say a little more because it's not just the Rambam. It's the Chovos HaLevavos says the same thing, that when we talk about belief, we're not just talking about something that you recite with your lips, right? So when he talks, when the Chovos HaLevavos or Rabbeinu Bachya ben Pekuda talks about Yichud Hashem, he says there's a whole school out there that's miyachdehu belibo. Sorry, so there's a whole school out there that is miyached Hashem just with their lips and not with their lave. That's the almost like a cynical type of belief, he says. He says a person is supposed to affirm this belief, belave shalem. But what does that mean? So he says there are some people who are miyached osa b'lshono b'vad. They just say it. But that's the lowest level. Whoops. Didn't mean to do that. Give me 1 second, guys. Sorry about that. Here, that's the lowest level. The highest level is someone who is miyached belibo v'lashono, achar sheyavin inyan ha'echad ha'emes. So this is the key point that proper belief requires like proper rayos and clarification of the statement, and only then do you have the right time, the right type of belief, or the right type of emuna. Now he does say, and we saw this this quote in our shirim, that many people don't have this proper belief. And he says they fail because it takes a lot of rigorous quest, pursuit, study to form it in the right way. So he says it's left to the Hasgula me'anshei hayichud shehemiku b'chachma ve'hevinu inyan habore v'hanivra v'chukei ha'achad ha'emes v'mashem misboded bo. The MS Amar HaFilosof Ba'amro Lo Yuchal Lavod Ilas Ha'ilos V'Tchilas HaAschalos El Navi Hador B'Tivo O HaFilosof HaMuvak B'Mashe Kaneyu Min HaChachma Aval Zulasam Ovdim Zulaso. So you get the sense that, look, there's got to be this rigorous pursuit in order to form the proper type of Kabbalah Sol O Malchus Shemayim. And again, he cites the pasuk that we already saw is featured in the Nuschat Tfilah. The Adata Hayom v'Hashivos Alvecha ki Hashem hu Elokim. And that's once you have to achieve this, Miderecha Iyun v'Hasvaros Hanechonos Hasichlios. Ned, did you have a question on this?
I mean, what do you do with this post-Kant with inability of arriving at some sort of transcendental knowledge from immanent reality?
I don't know what you take Kant to have shown, but the claim here is that Judaism requires a well-grounded belief.
I get that, but
You
if you
think it's
live in
not
a world,
achievable?
I don't think it's achievable.
Oh, Ned's a skeptic about achieving this type of yediyah.
Cognitively, yeah, definitely.
You're shaking our world, Ned. You're shaking our world.
I came to uproot, but I ended up planting.
Interesting. Let's hear leave and then we'll get back to Ned.
So, isn't there a paradox here? Because if I'm trying to come to some sort of epistemic belief, but there's a duty involved, then it's not an epistemic belief, right? I start my inquiry as to the nature of God's yichidus, but my goal is to believe in God, right? Like, because there's a duty and there's a mitzvah to believe epistemically. Like, it's not an epistemic belief if there's a duty to do it. Like, I'm not. Isn't there a paradox there? Like, what I'm
No.
going about this inquiry wanting to come to a specific conclusion.
I never understood these pseudo paradoxes about not being able to command belief or not being able to command knowledge. Like, why couldn't I command you to learn that 1 + 1 = 2? Is there something illegitimate about that command?
Because it's different, because like it's clearly
Because
not,
we know you
it's clearly
exist.
not, as at least to me, it's clear, like, I think 1 + 1 = 2 has been intuitive forever and is still intuitive. Whereas maybe for the Rishonim, like to our Aristotelians, it was obvious. But for modern man, whatever, post Kant, I haven't read Kant, but Ned's saying post Kant, like, it's just there's that intuition is just not there anymore.
So I
Like,
think this is a deep question. You use the word intuition. I'm not sure if intuition is the right word, but let's take a step back for a second. I think what you're both pointing out is that you've ceded to the, let's say, agnostics, or to the atheists, or to secularists, that there's just not enough evidence out there in the world to ground proper belief in Mitzvah Hashem. Ned, I take that as your point, and Lev, I take that as your point.
I think you could.
You know, there's like a famous quip about Bertrand Russell that he supposedly said. Russell was like a major philosopher in England. He's a philosopher of mathematics. He wrote an epistemology, wrote a history of philosophy, and he was a major secularist, agnostic, maybe even an atheist. And he said that, my words, not his. After 120, he'll get up to Shemayim, and he'll stand before God, and God will say, "Bertrand, why didn't you believe in me?" And I'll respond, because there wasn't enough evidence. Like, what do you want from me? Like, there's not enough evidence. Like, how could I believe something? So I think there's a lot, I think there's truth in what he's saying, in that it does seem strange to hold people accountable to believe something that the evidence doesn't justify, that there's not enough evidence out there to support. Because if you are, you're basically requiring people to have an irrational belief.
No, that's what belief is, though. If there was enough evidence, then that would be fact. Or
Oh, stop it, Ezra. No.
it...
Belief, one second, let's distinguish for a second between belief and faith. I think sometimes those two terms get conflated. Faith, you might say, is something that you can't ground. I don't think faith is the right interpretation of emunah. I think it's clear when you look at the Rishonim that we've seen and the Nuschat Tefillah that we even saw today. Emunah, in the sense, Malchus Shemayim, is always associated with Yediyah, Havana, Hakara. Those are epistemic terms that are approximating knowledge. It's not saying faith. The whole point of the Rambam in Mor Nebuchadnezzar that we just read in the Chovos HaLevavos is that there's got to be grounds, proper warrant, proper basis, proper justification, proper evidence to house the belief in Malchus Shemayim, the belief in Metzias Hashem. So I think unless you guys are willing to concede that there's no support out there for Yedias Hashem, it can't be grounded. It's all got to be an irrational leap of faith. Sounds like that's what you're saying.
Well, I think to a certain point you have to make a leap of faith, but like I'm saying, once you make the leap of faith that the Torah is right and it's God's Torah, then starting investigating into that, then that's where you.
But then you have no genuine ground, right? There's no genuine epistemic ground for the belief in Metzias Hashem. I think, my personal view, and I think this is what the Rambam and Chovos HaLevavos endorse, they say, of course, the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world is that there's evidence out there to support him, to support well-founded belief, knowledge of Metzias Hashem.
What is that? What like
What does it look
what are
like?
yeah. Yeah. Are you talking about like
Oh,
the proofs of God? Like what?
yeah.
Aish Discovery Day.
So one second. So I don't think it's Aish Discovery Day. I don't even know what that is, Leave. But
You
actually,
know Aish Discovery Day?
no. But hold off in a second. Hold off for a second. I do think we let's distinguish for a second along the lines that these Rishonim, the Rambam, and the Chovos HaLevavos are distinguishing over here, and what I kind of wrote out in this piece. Obviously, we could distinguish between stronger beliefs and weaker beliefs. And I think we all agree that belief is not a function of how loudly you shout something. And belief is not a function of how frequently you utter it. Right? So here's my little example. I could scream at the top of my lungs, Pamayim b'chol yom, that there are aliens on Mars watching us through massive telescopes. But of course, it doesn't mean I believe it. Like, what would it even mean? What would it mean for me to believe that there are aliens on Mars watching us? Surely, Ezra, you don't mean it's like just have faith. Is that what you mean? Like, I could have faith that there are aliens on Mars, and that's what it means for me to believe it, Ezra? That's your view? So your belief in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when you say this leap of faith in the Torah, is the same as this kind of leap of faith, just deciding to affirm in your mind arbitrarily that there are aliens on Mars watching us with telescopes? Is that what your Yedias Hashem boils down to, Ezra?
I feel kind of strongman here, but this is not a fair comparison.
Why is it not fair? You're basically telling me that your belief in the Torah begins with nothing, just like a light switch that you flick in your mind, deciding to scream something or
I think it definitely starts at nothing.
Don't
So
can
it's
be or it can
ungrounded.
be.
It's ungrounded. The Yedias Hashem is ungrounded.
I don't say it's.
It's not rationally grounded. I think that's a
Yeah.
that there's a difference between saying something cognitively and other types of experience.
I don't know what it means for something to be grounded in something other than rationality. Like, what
Well,
would it be grounded in?
intuition, other modes of apprehension that are also part of human experience.
Okay, those are types of rational grounding,
No,
depending
they're
on what you
not.
think of intuition.
They're not types of
Sure.
rational grounding.
What?
Intuition is not cognitive.
If I had a genuine deep intuition that I could feel the aliens watching me. That's a type of grounding. I agree to that. But it's not just like a leap of faith. It's actually there's something that I have a basis for. Right? But you see the difference? The point is that like it ha if you're talking about a belief, certainly a critical belief, obviously it's different than you're just saying so. And obviously it's different than you're just asserting so. And especially in the DSSM, we talk about stronger beliefs and weaker beliefs.
If someone asks you why you believe in God, are you gonna like quote them like the proofs or like you
I
say
think you
like
have
that's
to. I think you have to have something to say. If someone comes over to you, Ezra, and says, you're standing here in Yom Kippur and you're screaming at the top of your lungs, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, and you say, what's the basis of it all? And you say, ah, I just decided to say it. It's an empty belief, in my opinion.
Does the bride in the embrace of her lover, that line?
But you're already appealing to certain types of grounds, Ned,
Those
right?
aren't
You're
grounds. Those are realities that don't require rational justification.
sure it does. Your rational justification is that you're in the arms of the beloved. You're saying, I feel it. I feel it like I feel my own
That's
hands.
the
I
same
feel.
thing. Yeah, I feel that God's there, but if you ask
That's
me
not
how
rational
what my proof
justification.
is, I
Why
can't
is that not
say
just, oh my gosh, Ned, if I turn to you and I say, Ned, why do you believe that you're sitting in that dark room over there with a light bulb? You'd say, because I feel it. I see it. I perceive it. So you could say you have an equally strong perception that you feel the caress of HaKadosh
But that's not
Baruch
a
Hu's
logical, that's not a
Yodo
deductive,
Achazoko Zro'a Netuya. Now, we
that's
might
not a
hold you a kofer
deductive.
for being a magshim, but at least you'd have rational justification for your.
That's not a deductive process. That's not rational. That's not what the Rambam is
Okay, so
saying.
not all rationality has to be deductive. Perception is not
Okay, so
deductive. It's
you're just expanding the definition of rationality beyond what any of us are arguing,
Ned,
at
you're
which
not in the
case.
epistemology course, so you're not a bar hachi to talk about rationality.
Okay.
Okay, but yeah, of course, the point is that it has to have some proper ground, some proper support, some proper evidence, right? Evidence could come from a lot of different things. Doesn't
What
mean
does
that you
evidence
have to.
count? Is me feeling God's presence, is that
Okay, so
evidence?
well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. But the point is, like, your point, Ezra, I think you've come around that there has to be some ground to it. We could figure out what's a proper ground, what's not a proper ground. But if it's just like, Lahavdil, well, I don't want to give this mashal. But if it's just that, like, you decided to believe, there's a song in the Book of Mormon, like a Mormon just believes. It's basically saying what you said, Ezra. It's like, the guy has sphakos, 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 then he decides that he's a mammon. Like as if
No,
you
because
could.
that belief is not. I agree that it has to be rooted in something, but I'm saying it doesn't have to be rational, or the evidence doesn't have to be like the ontological proof. Like that doesn't. I don't have to believe. I don't have
Good.
to quote that source or.
Good. But I think we all agree that you have to have something to say about the foundation of your belief,
Wait, but.
right? It has to be grounded because otherwise it's like no, otherwise it's nothing. It's a sham. It's
Yeah.
something you're uttering on your lips that's not mitsuyir belief, to borrow the formulation of the Rishonim. Leave.
I'm just saying, like, what when we talk about grounding, most of the time we're talking about like I've no reason that I want to come to this belief, right? But it's pretty obvious that if I'm Jewish and I was born into the tradition and I was taught about it from before I could even form rational beliefs, then like what right? Once I see this Rambam, be like, okay, I'll find some proofs, whatever. But like. To really say it's epistemic knowledge when I have such a clear bias to coming to that belief is like it's
Okay, you're
difficult.
asking already a deep question about exactly what counts as a good ground for belief. We'll say a little bit
Yeah.
about that in a second. But my point is that like there obviously if you're talking about belief, and this is explicitly in Mor Nevuchim, it's explicit in Rabbeinu Bachya, is that you're talking about something that's properly grounded, that has proper justification or warrant. Now we have to cheshbon. This is why we study epistemology, what exactly constitutes proper justification and warrant, but that's what belief is about. Right, that's what
Or we
Kabbalah
can
Samachas.
change the standards of belief. I don't understand why we need to be bound by this.
I'm saying like let's say
I'm making a very simple point, which I
there
think
might
is
be a lower bar
non-controversial.
here, right?
The point is that if Bertrand Russell is right, that you get up to Shemaim after 120 and say there's really not enough evidence to support the belief, then there's really no proper basis for a person's belief in Mitzvah Se'alef. Hamuna belokos, right? Now, if it can't be supported by sufficient evidence, then we're in big trouble, in my opinion. Because it means that you, to borrow a phrase from Kant, ought implies can. So if a Torah tells you that there's a leida, that's got to, that implies that there's got to be a possibility of grounding that belief properly.
Yeah, I'm
The
just
Torah
saying
does
it.
not demand this. This is the Rambam with his medieval philosophy coming in with a nice,
What
So
do you mean?
I
Vedata
dispute the
hayom,
standard.
vashevo selvavecha, ki Hashem hu Elokim, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ned, what, you missed shiur for the last 3 weeks?
No, I just the for the it's the Rambam's conception. It's not biblical. It's not
What else is vedata hayom, vashevo selvavecha? What
Yadat
else is
Hayom. You
sh
see, you see. That's the appeal to experience.
Vedata hayom does not mean that you should know. Let's look at the other Rishon in the Meiri. The Meiri writes, we saw this in Shir, that Shema itself, Inyan Havana, Kishomea Yosef, Ikra Kavana Lo Havin Achduso Yisala, it's to understand, right? That's a stronger epistemic state. Same for the Chulvos Havavos, Huchet Sivana Lahamin Barach. Shema doesn't mean Lishmoa Ha'ozen, right, Ned? Doesn't mean hearken or listen. But ach lemunas halev, so it's some stronger epistemic state. Same for the Abarbanel that we saw. He said, bir alem chamisha madam yikarim, shem lo hivinu. Sorry, but I'll say shema yisrael shem kenach, but shlomar yisrael hatei oznecho shema vehavein bilvavecha, ki chol zeh nichla b'loshon shmiya, to understand. That's yakiru v'yedu kol yoshvei sevel. Ned, you think the Nusach HaTfilah is also written by the Rambam? V'yavin kol yitzur kiata pialto, that's also Maimonidean.
I don't think it implies anything about the Rambam at all. I don't think you have to be locked into the Rambam's view when you're reading those psukim. I think we're all bi you think you're bi I
So
think we're
you think
biased.
idea,
You're
so you
defining
think
not
idea just means to make it up in your mind?
not make it up in your mind, but now there are different sorts of knowledge, and Rambam's cognitive knowledge is through specific demonstrable proofs is not.
Stop with demonstrable proofs. You're like stuck in logic class or something.
But that's what the Rambam means. When Aram says you have
See?
to show that it's muchrach and it's not going to be subject to
So
tersifications
far, we're
of
just unpacking the
whatever.
notion of emunah and yediyah. That's all. So let's look at some stuff that's discussed in grounding beliefs. Here are six options over here that I think are different ways that would constitute certain grounds for emunah belokus, right? Again,
This
you have
is
to
literally the proofs of God.
arguments for. Let's not even say arguments for. These are things that would like motivate reasons for a belief. As distinct from just arbitrarily flicking a light switch in your mind and saying this is something. I have faith that there are aliens on Mars
Okay,
looking at
but
us
you
through
think
giant
that we need to
telescopes.
believe, we need to know one of the, knowing God is knowing one of these six
I
things.
think you have to engage in a quest to ground the belief
Another
in
quest.
what?
Another quest.
That's right. You have to ground the belief in something.
And it's
Now,
one of
what?
these six
Can I just
things.
jump
All
in here
right,
for a
at
second?
least an example, one example of that is one of these six things. Just like.
Or maybe all of them together, right? These are kind of like the different types of foundations that one could start, or different, these are different areas of the earth that you could send roots into, right? Obviously, they have to respond to objections to all of these, but this is where like the inquiry begins. Zev, you have a comment?
Yeah, just to respond to Ned's point for a second, I don't think that you're not saying like your question isn't like how do we like be mekayim like technically mitzvah say aleph, like your question is like this is like a fundamental starting place of like the whole Torah is that you like know that there's a God or that you believe that there's a God. So belief, if belief in general. Requires justification. You can't just, like you're saying, you can't just flip a light switch. So, like, that's sort of the fundamental starting place of the entire Torah. It's not just like about being mekayim a specific mitzvah or
Right.
like, fulfilling this pasuk over here or that pasuk over there. It's really you know, yeah, it's like, yeah, whatever.
The only thing I would take
You know,
issue with in that
Konami,
form, one
even
second,
if you give
the
it
only
that
issue I would take,
prominence.
one second, the only issue I would take formulation within Zev's point is that I don't agree to that distinction between like technical Kiyama Mitzvah and this like foundational point. The one of the points
No,
of the
I know.
Shiurim in Brachos is to show that like Mitzvah Se Aleph is not just like, you know, technical. It's
No,
like
I
the
know, I know, but if
it's the
Ned's
Iker
taking
HaGadol
issue,
she'Hakol Tlui Bo.
if Ned's taking issue with the Rambam's formulation, I'm just saying it's not based on the Rambam or the Rishonim at all, really. It's like a just a fundamental question of any religious activity. You have
I'm
to,
saying
yeah.
our approach to that fundamental question is radically different from the Rishonim, and we should recognize that instead of trying
Who's
to
our
still exist in
approach,
their
Ned?
world.
Who's our approach?
Modern people post 19th century who realize that you can't prove things like this anymore, and that our the nature of knowledge is of divinity is completely different.
Fear alert, fear alert.
Yeah, Ned, I think you're abdicating. I think you're abdicating too much. It's chaval. I think you're.
לא נכחד כי ישנו הבדל מסוים בין מחשבת העבר לזו של ההווה בנוגע לדרישת אלוקים דרך מציאות הסופית. Quoting the Rav, line by line. It's a reality. You can't
What's a
hide from the fact
reality?
that this is that there's a different way of approaching it, that we are unable to access this world anymore.
Why do you
Who
say
said
that?
these people
You sound like
won,
a
and who
reformed
said the
Jew
Rav has
saying that
made the
like
final word?
the mitzvos are only for Jews prior to the Enlightenment. So you're saying Yedias Hashem is prior to the Enlightenment.
I'm saying that whatever it is, it has to be actually possible, cognitively speaking. And if it's impossible, then we must have misunderstood what
So
the mitzvah
I'll
was all
say to
about.
you what the Ribbono Shel Olam said to Iyov. Have you investigated the foundations of the earth?
No, I haven't, because
Have
it's
you
beyond
studied
human ability to do
epistemology,
so. That's
Ned?
what he means when he
Have you
says that.
studied the bases of knowledge and what would cause it?
No, because
No.
that's his
You read
whole
a
point,
little
is
bit
the
of the
whole
Rav,
point of that section.
you read a little bit of Rav Kook, and now suddenly you have tainas against the existence of the Ribbono Shel Olam.
The whole point of that section in Eov is that there are certain things beyond human knowledge. To me.
All right, now we have a lot more to discuss. It's a good thing you'll be in Philadelphia for Shabbos. You could come here. We'll work it. We'll work
Do you
it
think
through.
someone
Leave.
shouldn't practice if they don't have this?
It's a separate shaila, but I do think that someone who doesn't have this, it's like they're performing. This is the whole point of Chovos HaLevavos. It's like they're acting like an automaton where they're engaged in Chovos HaEvarim. Without the Chovos HaLevavos. The whole point of the Chovos HaLevavos is to say that, like, the command center can't be unmanned. The Yedias Hashem, Yichud Hashem, that's the command center. So if you want to perform mitzvot like a golem, great. And then we could have shilas whether you count for a minion.
Do you think there's something about like maybe the power of the day of Yom Kippur where it becomes easier to
Okay, so good.
come
Let's
to
come back
these
to Yom Kippur. Let me say a
conclusions?
few things though quickly here. I promised you'd finish by 9:30. I already broke my promise, but let's go a little further and we'll wrap up soon. So I want to point out just different grounds that like the roots could be sent out into like reasons that would constitute some sort of ground, warrant, basis, evidence for grounding a belief. So here's, I think I have six things here that are discussed. There's a wonderful book that I have here, worth reading through Logic and Theism by Jordan Howard Sobel. He's a very good philosopher from the University of Toronto. But here's like six different bases. And you know, we saw the Chovos HaLevavos, many Rishonim point to this idea of a first cause, that there's got to be, this is, of course, controversial, but the thought is people have a very strong intuition that there's got to be some first cause that's uncaused, and maybe it's right to identify that as the Borei Olam, who's the uncaused cause of the universe. But that's like there's really this need to explain like the origins of the world, right? So that's one, like where does it all come from? Like what's the origins of it all? For others, it's about there's got to be a reason for it all. Like there's got to be some purpose for the universe being here. Like we have this intuition that if the world exists, there should be some sort of reason for it existing. Now, not everybody shares that intuition, But many of us do have that. Leibniz had that intuition very strongly. The principle of sufficient reason, that you want to locate like the telos of the existence of things. But you see how that's different from a first cause type of consideration. One is just saying that if you have effects, the effects usually have a cause. And so if you go up the chain of causation, you're gonna get to one ultimate cause of it all. We saw that argument in the Chovos HaVavos. But the second point is a little different, that like there's in our quest for reasons, we think that something as grand as the universe itself should have some sort of purpose for its existence. Otherwise, like why shouldn't there just be nothing at all?
And if there was nothing, you'd still complain.
No, if there was nothing, like there would be nothing.
That was a Morgan Besser line.
I know, but it's a cute line. It's not a true line. Meaning, when you walk outside on the street and you look around and you see that there's a universe, like it's a pretty strange thing that there is existence at all. I find it strange. Like it's a pretty strange thing that like there's this earth that we inhabit. Like what? Like no. You don't think existence is strange? I
What
think it's
does
a
that
totally.
mean? Is
Am I not
strange?
placing? But then when I say there has to be a purpose, like I'm placing like my own Western biases, like my cognitive biases on. Oh, because it exists, there has to be a purpose. Like if I grew up in the East, I would not be thinking in those
Well, I think
terms.
it depends on
If
that
I wasn't
question.
a human being, I wouldn't be thinking in those
So you got
terms.
each one of these is just an opening foray. Like you have to then investigate, like this notion of first cause. You have to investigate, like, do things really need a purpose? But these are not things that you could shy away from addressing, in my opinion. Like
Yeah,
each one of these has.
you can address them and find them to be all wanting, and then come back to what I was saying.
Maybe, and then you'll end up like Bertrand Russell,
No, you don't
right?
have to end up like Bertrand Russell. Bertrand Russell's problem is that he limited his existence to rational
Sorry, you'll be
demonstration.
like a Mormon who just believes, like a flick on the light switch, right? Let me give a third third ground that people often point to. Arguments from design. There's this intuition that when you see something that bears a careful design, it's reasonable to infer from there that there's a designer who gave it that design. The Chovos HaVavos himself in Shaar HaYichud gives the mashal of you see a manuscript written, right? So it's reasonable to infer that there's an author of the manuscript.
None of this points to like our God, though. It points to a God or a force.
Well, I don't know what you mean by our God. The Rishonim are very specific in, like, the Rambam, for example, will say it's Yichud Hashem and that he's Matzoi Rishon. The Ramban
Okay,
says it's
but
like the Borei, who has the Yecholas, the Chefetz, and the Yedia, like those.
I'm saying you could believe some of these things and think God just created the universe and left. Like, that's not our God, what I'm saying. Like, these things don't point, actually prove
It's
what we
true.
believe to be
That's why
God.
many That's why many Rishonim think that not any one of these is individually sufficient, but you're gonna have to join this with some other ones that we'll get to in a second. Right? But Newton had a belief like this. Newton writes about this in the orbits of the planets, that he thinks that just like the design of the orbits point to some sort of designer. Again, there's a lot of arguments against this. Some of them are grounded in controversial assumptions about how many universes there are. But again, this is like an opening foray into the what would possibly constitute a ground for belief. Okay, number four. The Rabbi Halevi, the idea that you have testimony. So the guys in the epistemology class know that most of the things we know, sorry, we don't know this yet, but we're going to learn it soon, that most of the stuff we know comes from testimony of others, right? You only know about the Holocaust. Most of you believe in that the Holocaust happened. You only know that from the testimony of people who survived the Holocaust or witnessed the atrocities of the Nazis, right? That too is a basis of many of our beliefs. And Sir Buta Levi thinks that you have this chain of testimony going back to Mamad Har Sinai, and that is the most important basis of belief. Ned, surely even a post-Kantian enlightened individual such as yourself thinks that testimony is significant, no?
Still a probabilistic argument.
There's nothing wrong with probability.
Okay, but you're just okay, then we don't disagree. You're just using terms differently than I use them. If your point is expanding the net of what we consider to be like adequate warrant, then sure. But I don't think that's what people mean when they ask you, why do you believe in God?
Who cares what people mean when they
Well,
ask you
you
the
that's what you
question?
said, right? You said people, when a person comes over to you, you should have an answer to them. But this would not be an
Well, I think
answer. That
that
would
is that you
be.
say, look, here's all these kind of things that motivate the belief,
But none of them.
right? Those are very serious responses, right? Let's look at five for a second. A lot of people think that they have these inward religious experiences that just give them like an experience of divinity. You ever have hear people speak in these terms? Yeah, all that romanticized stuff that Ned was quoting from the Rav quoting Kierkegaard, making fun of Anselm of Canterbury about, do you ask your beloved who you're holding in your arms for proof of her existence? Right, Ned? Ned kind of disappeared for a second. But all that is like this notion that people just have this internal religious experience. Like some people, they're davening on Yom Kippur. And they're reading the piyutim of let's say the Kalir or the other Paitanim, and they feel like they're having this very close communion with God. Like that too could be a basis of belief. Some people you feel that conviction or that experience as strongly as you feel the perception of your own hand. That too is a genuine perception or sensation that could serve as some sort of ground of a belief. Other people, and here's item number six, they look to the fact that they think that the prophecies of the Torah have come true. We talk about Hashem's going to spread Jewry across the four corners of the earth. And then right, so some people are very moved by the here the Torah makes all these claims about what's going to happen in the future, and then many of those nevuos actually have become true. That's
Like what? Like he's like a navi. Like we have to see whether he come. Like what he does comes true. Like this seems kind of it's kind of a shallow proof.
why do you think it's a shallow proof?
Because it's like
Not a proof. I
it's
just want to say be I want to say like a ground, right? Or
a ground.
just
Yeah, I just think because like, you're not actually like you're not believing like in the oneness of God. You're just like he's like oh he if God created the Torah and the Torah has these specific, allusions to the future, and these allusions to the future are true. Like it seems very like you're not believing in anything else, but like I don't know, maybe I'm
well,
wrong
I think
here, but
as you say, I think the point is like you're it's like a scientific theory. The scientific theory predicts that something will happen, and that thing happens. That counts as evidence in favor of the theory, right? So the thought here is that the Torah makes all these claims about what's going to happen in the future. So the realization or the occurrence of those predictions gives you reasons to affirm the validity of the Nevuah, which also has Nevuah about these other things. As I think that's what you're getting at about the Nevuah point, right? It's not directly about Yedias Hashem per se, but it's about the body of Nevuah Smosha, right? One of which would be like the Nevuah, let's say, Anochi Hashem Lekach or Shema Yisrael. Anochi is a little complicated, or V'yadata Hayom V'ashivosa Levecha. Anochi is a little complicated because that was directly Piagvura, but you get the point, Ezra. Right? My point here is really just so again, any one of these, obviously each one of these is just a door into a line of inquiry. And maybe all of them are necessary together. Maybe like it's, but this is very different. Like engaging in this pursuit is different than just saying that I have faith because I choose to affirm something in my mind. Okay.
What about Nasa
So we'll see that the Rishonim say that Naasev Nishma also means lahavin, to come to the understanding, not just like blind adherence.
Nasa comes first.
Stop with midrashim. You know we're doing serious work over here, and you're throwing these like I got it to midrashim at me. All right, leave.
The pshat of the pasuk. I don't know what you're talking about.
If you were there at Har Sinai and the Borei Olam revealed himself to you through Nevuas Moshe after supporting you and taking you out of Mitzrayim with the Makos, it's very reasonable to say Naaseh V'Nishma.
Do you, so you lend no credence to like orthopraxy?
I will go back to my mashal that it's like a golem engaged in acts of the Evarim
But
without
it's
the.
not because I'm making a conscious like especially if I'm a modern day individual, I'm making a conscious decision to like to do this and to be a part of the tradition that's been spanning back centuries and to like even if it's like reactionary to the modern world, to like be a person who's dedicated to something bigger than myself and to like do halacha and have a law system that's beyond just like civil law, you know, like these are things that are like real and not just a golem, like
You get like a C plus for showing up to class. You know, it's great. That's it's a nice thing too to show up to class. In my opinion, it's not like I don't care. I'd rather not have somebody show up to class altogether if they're just gonna sit there like a golem in the back. It's my personal view. But okay, somebody you want to give them partial credit for writing their name at the top and showing up to Yiddishkeit. That's very nice too. But that's the. This is the reason why it's the Ikar HaGadol Kol Talui Bo. It's a sine qua non for other aspects of. Now you might say instrumentally and pragmatically, okay, if somebody starts with the Chovos Eivarim, they could always come back to the Chovos Avavos. So
Or
like
they
you
can
know we
start
don't.
with the broad and better Chovos Levavos, which are actually, the affective Chovos Levavos.
What are the affective Chovos Avavos, Ned?
Meaning Avat Hashem, Yirat Hashem, not.
You can't have Avas Hashem without Yiras Hashem. Ned, were you missing for the first 3 weeks of Shir? The whole point of the Rambam is that it's Kipiyadeya Kafir Ava.
I reject the presuppositions of those Rishonim, so I can't speak to them. I'm just saying you can develop sort of your trust in God without developing cognitive. It's
Et tu, Nede? A lot of work to be done here. I want to say well, a few more things before we conclude and we'll let everyone go.
I'm gonna have to head out though.
You have a couple of minutes, Ned, no?
I have to walk to the station.
Okay, when you walk, walk with the mind also.
Okay, I will.
Not just with the goof. But stay for one more second, Ned. One more
Okay.
second. This is, I think, pshat in the pasuk in Yeshayahu when we say, Dirshu Hashem bihimatzo k'ru bioso karov. Chazal teach us in Rosh Hashanah Yud Ches that these are Elu Aseres Yom Shebein Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, where we say that Hashem is Bihi Matzo, that Hashem is close. But notice here that it's Dirshu Hashem Bihi Matzo, right? Like seek him out. That's the inquiry. It's not Hashem is Matzo Aseres Yemei Tshuva. But there's this task, there's this enterprise of Dirshu Hashem, right? Seek him out. That's the inquiry. That's this rigorous project of pursuing Yedias Hashem. The Abarbanel, which we've seen, makes a big deal about the fact that Shema is Havinehu, right? To come to a comprehension of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hatei Aznecha Shema V'Havein Bilvavcha at Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. And he makes a big deal of the fact that we say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso out loud specifically on Yom Kippur, not during the rest of the year. Do you guys recall this from the Abarbanel? And he says that's because this third element of Shema, about a certain element of Yedias Hashem that he's Kolel Hashlemios, He says, this is the most Nisgav element. It's the most exalted element of Yedias Hashem. Here, let's, he says, reaching this element of Yedias Hashem, wrote Lomar Shah, Sagas Hamada Hazeh, who meyuchad l'shleimim, lo l'chol ha'am. It's not achievable by everybody. Sort of a very difficult type of knowledge to apprehend. Ha'amnam b'yom ha'kipurim shekulanu k'malachi ha'ashareis hayinu omrosa b'farhesya. So there's something, we think there's something special about the type of spiritual rank that we achieve on Yom Kippur that allows us to achieve this higher understanding of Yedias Hashem that allows Klal Yisrael to say Baruch Shein K'malchuso li'olam va'ad out loud. Which were we a type of hasaga that we don't achieve the rest of the year. I think that's consistent with this idea of Dirshu Hashem Bihimatso Kiruhu Biyoso Karov. Let me just conclude with the following thought. When we the theme of Aseres Mitzvah is also the theme of tshuva, repenting. Pashat Pshat in Tshuva is not returning from your Averos, but it's returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, returning to Hashem. In the Parshios and Nitzavim, it's Vishavta Ad Hashem Elokecha. And then we use the formulations from Shema, B'chol Levavcha, U'v'chol Nafshecha. So it's like really returning to this Avas Hashem and Yedias Hashem of the words that we use in Shema. And you'll notice that in our tfilos of and that's almost eschatological in its nature, right? The psukim in the Dvarim are talking about you're going to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, bo alecha kol habrachos v'haklalos se'ela. You're going to return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and imi yenidachecha b'ktzei hashamayim misham yikabetzcha Hashem Elokecha misham yikachecha. The Jews are going to be in gathered from the diaspora from all the places asher hafitzcha Hashem Elokecha shama. So we think of like real tshuva as not just the tshuva of the Yachid, but the return of Klal Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Yemos HaMashiach. And that's why, so much of our tfilos are about L'Asid Lavo. Moloch al kol ha'olam kulo bichvodecha, b'yavin kol yitzur ki'ati yitzarto. Just like in Shema, we saw Rashi al Torah says that Pashat Pshat is Bayom Ahu Yehi Hashem Echad. Right? That there's something eschatological in the ultimate achievement of Yedias Hashem. And that's, of course, what the Rambam tells us within Hilchos Tshuva itself, Perek Tes Halacha Beis. We're nis'aveh for Yemos HaMashiach because ultimately Tshuva is to arrive at Osan Hayamim Tar Be Hadeah V'Hachachma V'Ha'emes Shenemar Mola Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem. That's really the goal of this whole process of V'Shavta Ad Hashem Elokecha. We're going to have a melech in those days who's going to be a Baal Chachma Yeser Mishlomo. And the Rambam in Hilchos Malachim tells us the same thing. The reason why the Nevi'im aspire for Yemos HaMashiach is because then Hashem. That's, I think, at the very heart of the Yamim Noraim. Of Malchios beginning with Rosh Hashanah, Kabbalah Malchus Shemayim at the end of Yom Kippur, it's Yediyat Dirshu Hashem Bihimatzo, seeking out that Yediyat Hashem when He's present, aspiring for Yemos HaMashiach when it's the ultimate tshuva of V'Shavta Hashem Elokecha, when the whole world will be filled with this Mala Ha'aretz Deyas Hashem. And it's our goal, it's our task, it's our quest on the Yamim Noraim to secure proper grounding for that yediyah. So it's a really a rich and rigorous pursuit to gain this Kabbalah Samach Ushmaim in the right way. I'm going to conclude with the last thing, this final ha'ara. I tell you guys about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter and Shir? Did I mention Yisrael Salanter and Shir? So we saw that the Gemara in Brachos says that when you kabbal samachu shemayim, you should have kavanah to mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the Dalet Ruchos and the Shiva Rekiyim. You should be marech bedalet. You should pronounce the ches the right way. Sound familiar? So Bisol Salanter says, it's a great ha'ara from the great Baal Musar, that he sees so many yeshiva bachrim that when they say Shema, they have kavana to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu over the Dalid, kanfos ha'aretz, and over the Shiva Rikiyim, but they forget to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu over themselves. You think in such grand and lofty terms about, Hashem spreads over Moshe Avyikaro b'Shemayim Imaal. But you forget that real Malchus Shemayim enters the world first and foremost through the Yedias Hashem that you as an individual are supposed to pursue to create a proper ground, a proper foundation for Yedias Hashem in your own mind. The Shechina of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malchus Shemayim doesn't enter the world through thunder, doesn't enter the world through lightning, lo barash Hashem. Malchus Shemayim enters the world first and foremost with the individual human mind that prepares itself for proper Yedias Hashem. So I hope on Motzei Yom Kippur when we stand and engage in this Kabbal Sol Malchus Shemayim that we've been contemplating and seeking all year, we shouldn't just be screaming it at the top of our lungs like a golem, you know, just trying to boom. But it should be a Yedias Hashem that finds a proper grounding, a proper warrant in our minds. And that's the beginning of Kabbal Sol Malchus Shemayim, L'Tzaken Olam B'Malchus Shakai. Okay, I wish everyone a Gemar Chasima Tova. We'll pick up with our Limud, Talmud Torah, and Kriyat Shema right after Yom Kippur. All right, Shkoyach, everyone.
Gemar Chasima Tova, Rav.
Thank you.
Marcy Matova, everyone. All right, a lot more to